Good to be saved this morning, know the Lord. Trying times that we're living in, but yet, like Brother Matthias said Thursday, preaching is not popular today, and the gospel is not a popular thing today, but we're yet called upon to be Christians, even in the hour that we're living in. And us preachers are to be instant in season, out of season, regardless whether it's a good time to preach or a bad time to preach. We're to preach the Word of God. And so let's turn to Song of Solomon chapter number 4 and begin reading in verse number 1 again for the sake of reading the Scripture. Maybe some of you will memorize this chapter as well. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh, and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar, and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as a honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. That concludes this chapter. Lord willing, I'll preach at least once more from it, and possibly two more times. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the privilege to be in this place this day, to stand in the presence of a holy God whose mind never has missed a thing and whose eyes run to and fro in the earth, beholding both the good and the evil. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that is so rich and full, so priceless and so precious. Thank you, our Father, for God's mercy that we found at Calvary. That day is when we came as a poor sinner, helpless before God. And yet, Lord, in love, you lifted us out of the miry pit. And Lord, you've given us a real song in our mouth, joy in our hearts, praise unto our God. I thank you, Lord, for the Bible, for the church, for your people. I do pray that today that you'll save some old sinner by the grace of God. Lord, today refresh the hearts of your people. May the wind of God, north and south, blow upon this garden today. that the spices thereof may flow out. Give grace to every heart. Save sinners. Give liberty and power to the preacher this morning as I preach the Word of God. For without you, Lord, I'm nothing. I can do nothing apart from God. May thy word abide in me richly this morning. Fill me, Lord, with grace and with great glory. Joy in my soul, proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your divine will and way in every heart. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, our verse of text, the text verse this morning, all right should have been found in verse number 15. But I just could not settle in my heart on that verse for today, and I struggled with it during the entire week. And so this morning I want to call our attention to verse number 16, where the Bible said, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon thy garden, that the spices thereof may flow out." And if God will help me this morning, He's going to have to. God knows I've got a great need today. And I want to try to preach for a little while on the thought, the works of the wind. In the verse, we find both the north wind that blows, and we find the southern or the south wind that blows also. And they have been bidden to blow upon Christ's garden. He says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out." God has planted a garden. He has cultivated that garden. He has manicured that garden. And it has brought forth pomegranates and pleasant fruits and camphor and spikenard and saffron and calamus and all of the spices and herbs that is mentioned in verses 13 and 14. But then he says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow, out." You know, God, as I said, has manicured His garden. But my friend, that is the church of the living God. But it takes a breath of the Holy Ghost to breathe upon you and I that the work of grace that Christ has done in us may produce a fragrance, not for you and I. And I don't want to break it, let any air out of your bubble, but not even for you. But that the spices may be enjoyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. For she said in that last verse, "Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Has it ever occurred to you that every work of grace that the Lord has done in you and I, He's not done it for our pleasure, but He's done it for His. What He does in us, He has done that He might enjoy it. When God created the heavens and the earth, church, He created them for His own glory. And when He created man and set him in the garden, He created man for His own glory. And when God has recreated you and I in salvation, He did that for His own glory, that He might enjoy the spiritual fruit and the spiritual prosperity from every child of God who's been saved by the marvelous grace of God. And in order to get that fruit and spices out of the garden, it takes the work of the wind. And by the way, it takes the north wind and it takes the southern breeze. Amen. Now, if you've got a Scofield Bible, Scofield is not inspired. And Mr. Scofield says that the bride is speaking here. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I disagree 100% with that. Somebody said, "Preacher, why do you disagree with it?" Because you and I are not spiritual enough, my friend, to ask God to let the north winds blow upon us. Oh, we're spiritual enough, all right. And we want the southern winds to blow. We want the south winds, which are gentle and calm and refreshing, to blow upon our soul and bring the blessings of God. But we're just not such a willing creature as to want the harsh, bitter winds of the north to blow upon this little garden spot of ours, that God's herbs and spices may flow out. But I'm here to tell you, it takes the bitter and the sweet, friend. It's going to take some winter months and some summer months in order for you and I to produce the fruit that God wants in our life. It's not always a bed of roses and a bucket of honey in this Christian life that we're serving for God. Awake, O north wind. Come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow out. Not your garden, it's His garden. Blow upon my garden. Oh, the works of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is clear, friend, that the wind is always a type of the Holy Ghost. Anytime, and by the way, Baptists don't really enjoy being preached to about the Holy Ghost. We've entertained the idea that that is a Pentecostal term, and we Baptists ought not to use it. But I'm here to tell you it is a biblical term, and we've got every right in the world to use it. Oh, yes. And the wind in the Bible always refers to the Holy Ghost. If there was ever, my friend, a time when Island Ford Baptist Church needed the Holy Ghost of God to breathe on us, it's right now in the year 2000, the month December, and the day the 10th that we're living in. Oh, just for one more breath of God, just for one more breeze from another world, just for the Spirit of God to work one more time in our hearts and lives, that we might bring forth a fruit that is blessed and precious in the eyes of the Son of God, and that He might enjoy fellowship with you and I down here at the house of God. Amen. Awake, O north wind. Come thou south and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Now the works of the wind. What kind of works does the Holy Ghost do? Jesus said when He has come, He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Amen. Jesus said when He has come, He will glorify me, talking about the Lord Jesus. For He will not testify of Himself, Jesus said. But whatsoever things He hears about me, that's the things He'll testify of. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying I know that most of the Pentecostal churches, and I love them and I'm not being critical, but they're off biblically speaking. And the reason they are, they make more of the ministry of the Holy Ghost than they do of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I tell you, when you can tell where Jesus is around, it's where the Holy Spirit of God is testifying about the Lord Jesus and glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus, and God's people are rejoicing in what Christ has done for them in their life. Amen. Now the works of the wind. What kind of work? Where do we see? Now I'm going to get to my text in a minute. But I want to say that the wind is operative in man's salvation, or in man's conversion, if you want to literate it the way I'm going to literate it this morning. Friend, I tell you, there's no sinner ever been saved apart from the work of the Holy Ghost. But if this easy believism crowd, bend your head and repeat after me, 1, 2, 3, and say this little prayer, and you'll receive the Holy Ghost and live for an eternity. There's only one thing wrong with that, my friend. It is as false can be. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. No man shall ever see nor hear anything about the kingdom of God nor enter into the kingdom of God unless he is born of both the water and the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of the Word of God. Oh, and it takes the Holy Ghost to breathe on the Word of God, to quicken the Word of God and make it alive in a sinner's heart, to produce faith in him that he might escape the damnations and the torments of hell. Are you listening? The wind is operative in man's conversion. For Jesus himself said in John chapter 3 and verse number 8, he said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth." And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
You hear it, but you can't tell where it came from.
Amen.
And you can't tell where it's going. I challenge anybody in this building this morning to step outside, my friend, and wrap the wind up in your fist. I challenge you to go outside and look at the listen to the wind and tell me where it's coming from and where it's going to. You can't tell me that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're really saved this morning, you don't know all there is to being saved or all there you think you know about the day that the Holy Ghost came to where you were and birthed you into the family of God. Somebody said, "What happened to you, Brother Hall?" I just know I was there and a breeze swept through and the Holy Ghost gave peace. My sins were pardoned and I became a child of God. I didn't know where it come from or where it went to, but I know he visited the fifth row on the left in a little Baptist church where God saved me by his marvelous grace. I want to say two or three things about that wind in conversion. That wind is a powerful. Did you know how powerful the wind is? Step outside and try to stop it. You ain't going to stop God, friend.
Amen.
I'm going to say something here. In that sense, God's Spirit is irresistible. But you got to understand, he blows where he listeth. Oh, how powerful that wind is. Oh, yes, sir. You can put up a wall and it'll go over it. Or it'll go around it. Or it'll go through it. But there is no stopping, my friend, the wind when it blows. It's a powerful wind. Have you ever seen a picture of a tornado or a hurricane and how devastating and how powerful that wind can really be as it tears apart buildings and destroys homes and tears down businesses? I'm telling you, my friend, the wind that blows is a powerful element in this world. And I'm glad, thank God, that the wind of the Holy Ghost in converting an old sinner is a powerful thing. Son, it took the power of God to reach down into your dead soul and quicken you and make you alive in the Lord Jesus and pardon all your sins and your transgressions. Hallelujah. I'm trying to preach to you. You're about as dead as 4 o'clock today, though. You almost be looking for Santa Claus. Huh? Well, that wind is powerful. The wind is powerful. The wind is penetrating. You ever been out somewhere, Brother Robert, on the job? That old wind be cold, son. You can bundle up. You can bundle up, but that wind is going to penetrate that clothing somehow. And by the way, you can get inside of a building, and if there is a crack or a cranny anywhere in that building, son, I'm telling you, the wind is a-blowing. She's a-coming through that building. She'll get on the inside. Guarantee you, there's places in the church building we're in that if the wind would get up, you could put your hand up by the window and feel a breeze. Amen. You could put your hand up by the front door out there and feel a big breeze. In fact, you could about throw a tomcat through it about any place you want to. Amen? And the wind will blow through it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when the wind of the Holy Ghost in conversion begins to blow in a man's soul, son, it penetrates every crack. It penetrates every crevice. It gets down into the deep recesses of your hole, your soul, and exposes the darkness and the sin and the ungodliness that's there. Amen. Only the Spirit of God can penetrate that heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Ah, the Lord, search the hearts and try the reins.
Amen.
And son, when He gets a hold of your heart, He's going to get her all.
Amen.
He's going to find, that's right, He's going to find out every little sin.
Amen.
Folks got the idea they'll just tuck a little pet one back. I talked to Brother Smith last night. He said, Brother Hall, we've had a woman visiting our church for 2 years off and on. Said, you got four young. Said, she's the sweetest lady I know. And said that I try to talk to her about her salvation. Said, the only thing now, and I'm not throwing off. These folks here smoke, and you know I know you smoke, and I'm not throwing off on you. But you ought to quit the stinking thing. And he said, the only thing that woman ever talk about is a cigarette. I asked her about her soul, and she'll say, well, I do this, and I do that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. And he said, I really believe that her prevalent sin, her little Pharaoh, ain't nothing but about a little 3.5-inch, a white thing with a brown filter on the end of it about that long. In other words, she's got a little cigarette that's standing between her and God. Somebody said, what's happened, preacher? I'm going to tell you what's happened. Through the preaching of my friend of that book, the wind got to blowing and penetrated her heart, and she's got a little pet sin in her life that she's not willing to turn loose of because she loves that little sin more than she loves God Almighty. Now, I don't care what kind of a sin it is. Son, if you hold on to that sin, rather than God, that one little sin will drag you to hell. Why, if God makes it an issue, it's an issue with you, friend. Are you listening to me? That wind got down in the cracks, friend. Wonder if it's ever got down in the crannies in your heart. Penetrated every little spot in your heart. Oh, it's powerful. It's penetrated. But thank God the wind is purifying. Somebody's called it nature's fan. You ever seen been in a summer day and it'd be all hazy and hot and muggy and gummy and like in Los Angeles, they talk about the smog of moving in that you can't breathe. That's the way a lost sinner man or sinner woman is. Son, the smog of sin sets in. They can't breathe. They can't get any life on their own. It's like they got emphysema or lung cancer. The air's cut off. I'm going to tell you what, buddy. You get the wind blowing down at the house of God. Amen. I tell you, it blows on that old smoggy heart, that old sinful heart. I tell you what a good rain shower will do in the summer months. It'll blow out all that smog and blow out all that heat, my friend, and refresh you and purify all the air around it. I'm here to tell you, that's what the Holy Ghost will do to a sinner. He'll purify an ungodly heart in an old sinner. Now, I'm trying to get to my message. I want to say secondly, the wind is not only operative in man's conversion, but the wind is operative in our commission. That's why we're not doing anything for God right now. Now, I may just have to talk to you. If I do, that's fine with me. You can just sit there and stare, pick your nose, eat a booger or two if you want to. Maybe that'll make you happy. Huh? I was sitting in Brother High Church one time years ago. He was in a meeting. Some little boy sat about 3 rows, and he sat there and picked and ate all morning. Brother Hyatt said, well, we're getting ready to break for lunch. I said, that kid don't need nothing. He's full.
Amen.
Try to get your attention a little bit now. Are you listening to me? The wind is also operative in our commission. Now, I'm here to tell you, we better get aware of this. Because they sinners all around us dying and going to hell.
Amen.
And it's because the wind of God. Why do you think I preach so much on the presence and the power of God at the church house? It takes a wind, son, from another world to blow through this place to empower this church that we might be witnesses for God in these last days. This is what the Bible said. Acts 1:8, the Bible said, "But you shall receive power."
Amen.
When, Brother Hall? After that the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Is come upon you. Somebody said, "I'm not a very good witness." Get alone with God and let the wind blow on you a little bit.
Yes.
He'll loosen your tongue and refresh your heart and give you a song about Jesus, allow you to testify about the good grace of God.
Yes.
Old sinners out there need it, boy. I'm telling you, they're on the brink. They're on the brink of woe.
Yes.
Now, I'm not a fatalist. I believe they can be saved. Any of them call on God's name and be saved. I believe that with all of my heart. Heard somebody the other night kind of shocked me. Said he believed in irresistible grace. When I preached, I said, "I do not believe in irresistible grace."
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Somebody said, "Well, explain it to me." I just did a while ago, if you're spiritual enough to get it. The wind might blow, friend, but if you put up a block wall, he won't blow through it. He'll blow around it.
Amen.
You reject him enough, he'll just blow around you, buddy.
Amen.
Leave you sitting on a church pew lost and undone without God.
Amen.
You shall be witnesses unto me. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But Acts chapter 1, chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, the Bible said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." I'm going to tell you what happened immediately after that wind blew in that house. My friend, they fulfilled the Great Commission, and Peter stepped out, my friend, and began to preach the gospel, and 3,000 Jews were saved by the grace of God. We wonder why people are dying and going to hell today. I'm going to tell you why. It's because Baptists have minimized the work of the Holy Ghost and the power of God and absolutely see no need for it. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, it is imperative that we have the wind of the Holy Ghost working in our lives in order to fulfill the Great Commission that God's called us to do. Them old hippie boys blow cigarette smoke in your face and you just back off from them and cow down like a little whoop dog. That's the way most of us act. Not an ounce of boldness, not an ounce of power. We spend too much time on everything else and worried about time more than anything else. That's right. The wind. I'm trying to get to where I'm going. Some of you in here need to hear where I'm going. The wind is operative in our conduct. Now come on in the house, little children, right here. Because tonight, like I told the men, Lord willing, I'm preaching on when your religion runs out.
Amen.
I really think that some of you in here this morning entertain the idea that as a child of God, that you can just continue to ignore the Word of God and ignore the work of God in you and continue going right on, my friend. Conducting yourself the way you do, and God blink His eyes and overlook what you're doing. No. There was a fella in the Bible by the name of Jonah. God said, "Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh, that great city, and cry loud against that. I've got something for you to do, Jonah. In fact, Jonah, I want you to do a little preaching for me, if you don't mind." Jonah didn't want to go down to them Ninevites, and he run down to was it Tarshish or Joppa, and he jumped on a boat, headed to the other place. And three times there, friend, the Bible said, and I'm not turning there for the sake of time, But the Bible said Jonah went down, and Jonah went down. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care whether it's a preacher running from God or whether it's a Christian because his conduct is not right, disobeying God. It makes no difference which it is to me. You mark her down that God knows where you're sitting, big boy. And God's able to ring your telephone when God gets ready. And if you belong to God, He will ring your telephone. He will ring your telephone. Don't leave me. The Bible said he went down. Disobedience, friend, won't do one thing but lead you down, down, down. And they found himself laying down in the ship. And the Bible said he was fast asleep. Ain't nobody in here like that this morning, are they? You went down so low you finally got asleep. Some of you in here this morning got to where you ignore me. You won't even come around Brother Hall no more. You won't even speak to me. You won't even come by my office and shake my hand. Come on, we're going to preach this morning. I'm not playing games with you. We are trying to get a hold of God and have God in our life and have some victory in our life. And somebody said, oh, I'll tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is too. When somebody ignores me, buddy, I got a flag goes up and says, they got a problem with you. Amen. Old Jonah went down, down, and down. Do you know what the Bible said? But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likened to be broken. I just put one point under there. The wind found him. In his conduct, the wind found him in sin and rebellion and disobedience. It found him, and the wind will find me, and the wind will find you, friend. Mark her down. I'm going to move on. The wind is operative, fourthly, and this is where I've been wanting to get to, maybe if the Lord would let me for a minute, in our consecration. Awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Like I said a minute ago, I believe it's the groom that's speaking and not the bride. I might be wrong. But I don't believe there's... Come on, everybody listen to me now. I'm not quite done. I don't believe there's anybody in here that would be such a fool to say, Brother Hall, I enjoy the harsh, bitter winds of winter more than I enjoy the cool, gentle breeze of the summer. But whoever's speaking there, and it's got to be the bridegroom, come, awake, O north wind. Send the winter seed out! Church, nobody likes the winter's months in spiritual matters. Oh, I'm telling you, it drives us on the inside. It chills us out in our heart. It isolates us from others. And by the way, it'll isolate you many times away from Christ. Nobody likes that. We always want those little summer breezes to blow, buddy. But I'm going to tell you something. According to that book, it took both to get the spices out of the garden. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It is going to take some bitter days as well as some good and blessed days in your life for God to accomplish in your spiritual life what God wants to. Amen. I've said this so many times. When God brought them out of Egypt, they eat that Passover lamb with bitter herbs and spices. They had the lamb, son, but they had some bitter herbs to go along with it. Amen. This Christian life, in fact, we're not going to enter into the kingdom of God apart from tribulations. Amen. It is not going to be a bed of roses. And the problem with some of you, when the bitter times come, when the winter months come, you sulk up and sulk around like some little old whipped dog. Why don't you realize that what God is doing is for your good and God's glory, and He's planted a garden in your heart, and He's making every effort possible to get the spices out of it that He might enjoy the garden in your life that He's planted Himself. We don't want that. You'll make you put me on cloud nine all the time, preacher. Let's shout it out every service, preacher. Let's have a good time and have fun all the time. It ain't going to work that way, buddy. Somebody, God will send something in your life occasionally to let the air out of your inner tube, buddy. What about that old song Brother Milby sang? Huh? He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the valley. In the valley He restoreth my soul. It's as dark as a dungeon, and the sun seldom shines. Huh? But that's where God leads His children. In those dark valleys. And some of you cannot see that. Either you can't see it, or you don't want to see it, or you enjoy being where you're being, where you are. Come on now, I'm going to charge you a thing, but I'm going to clean your tater plow. I'm going to tell you what, I ain't letting my own kids sit in this church and bow up like a toad frog and puff up like the same buddy without cleaning their plow, and you ain't a bit better than my kids to get your hide busted either, buddy. You let my wife bow up like some of you have, I'll let the air out of her sail. Thank you, I won't charge you a thing for that. Somebody said, I don't like that. It's part of that bitterness. Wintertime. She just came through the spring when the flowers had bloomed and the birds were singing. But oh, now it's time for the chilling winter breezes to blow. I'm going to tell you something, friend. No wonder. A lot of times we don't have good crops. We don't have enough cold weather to kill out the mites and the blights and the lice. And no wonder we fight mosquitoes all summer long and flies all summer long. There's never enough cold weather to chill them out. Do you realize that the cold weather will destroy some things in your life that need to be gotten out? That when the warm weather comes, you can blossom and bloom in the garden when the fruit, my friend, will come forth.
Amen.
Nobody likes the winter months. I want you to hear me carefully, and I'm about done. What is those north winds? Awake, O north wind. What is a winter season? I think it can come in the form of a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about that. He said, I was a man, said, I know a man caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But he said, I saw things that are unlawful, and so on. You know the story. And he said, because of this, he said, the Lord sent me a thorn in the flesh.
Amen.
A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he said, I sought the Lord three times for that thing. And the Lord wouldn't deliver me from it. There's some things God's not going to deliver you from.
Amen.
He said, the Lord didn't deliver me from it. But He replied and said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Paul said, I will rather glory then in infirmities, in persecutions, in reproaches. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I believe he's talking about a little chilling time, a little winter time there. That old thorn in the flesh, God sent it to him to get. Oh, somebody said, why? Lest he be exalted above measure. God said, Paul, I don't want you getting too proud.
Amen.
So I'm going to have to bring you down a notch or two and show you what you really are.
Amen.
Just another man saved by the grace of God, Paul.
Yes.
I'll let the north wind blow on you a little while. Cool you down a little bit.
Yes, sir.
You've got some fruit of humility growing out yonder in that little garden of yours. And I want to get the spices of it. But I can't get it as long as pride's in there, so I'm going to freeze the pride and water the humility and bring that spice out of my garden. What about it? Please don't leave me. Hey, some of you in here need it. I'm telling you, I'm under God. There's some of you in here. There's some of you in here that grieve God every time you come to church anymore. You grieve Him. You grieve Him. And I love you, but you grieve Him. Come on back now. We're just talking now. Let me tell you another area of your life that God can send some winter months in. Not only with a thorn in the flesh, but a tragedy of life. Nobody likes it, friend. I'm going to tell you what, I'm just telling you my heart right now. As a young preacher years ago, and I still get bothered with some things. As a young preacher years ago, the devil used to come to me and he'd say, "Well, you got three kids." I said, "Which one of them do you want me to kill?" I said, "You're going to have to lose one of them in order for God to work in your life to make you what you ought to be for Him." I'm going to tell you, friend, that hurts. And you're constantly barraged with that thought from the devil. Are you listening to me? But there are times when God will allow tragedies in your life. Bring that winter month along for Him to develop you as a child of God. Some areas where you can't, where it's going to take that degree of chastening for God to accomplish in you what He wants to. What about David? David saw his own daughter ravished by her brother. Not long after that, David saw his own son murder his own brother. Not long after that, David saw his own son, or got word that his own son, hanged by his long hair in an oak tree.
Amen.
At least the life of two of his children and a daughter raped by one of them. You talking about a tragedy? Do you think that got David's attention? I wonder sometime what it's going to take to get the attention of God's people now in this generation that we're living in.
Amen.
It seems like nothing moves us.
Amen.
You think he got David's attention? I'm going to tell you something, friend. When David walked through the gate of Jerusalem that day and was saying, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, would to God it was me." By the way, he lost a baby! Absalom, Absalom. Would to God it was me instead of you, Absalom. And who of us would not change places with a child that God took? Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, God won't do that." I'm telling you, sometimes God will resort, my friend, to tragedies in our lives to get our attention. And I'm going to tell you what. It took not one tragedy, not two tragedies, not three tragedies, but four in David's life to get a hold of his attention. And then he was so stubborn and bullheaded that God sent a preacher and said, "You're the man, David. You're him.
Amen.
You're him." Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I wonder sometimes, friend, what it takes for God to get the attention of His people. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Where's it at? Where is it? Tragedies. Tragedies. You know, there's a man in the Bible by the name of Jephthah. God said, "Jephthah," and so many words said, "You're going to be the judge of Israel." Jephthah said, "Oh, God," he said, "if You will give me victory in the battle." He said, when I return from the battle, the first thing that comes out of my doorway, out of my gate, He said, I'll offer it as a sacrifice unto the Lord. You know what the first thing was that come out? His only daughter. He gave her. Somebody said, oh, God don't work that way. You don't know the same God I know. We've got God today as some old gray-haired man that all He wants to do is pass out sugar sticks and lollipops and suckers to people. He's not Santa Claus, ladies and gentlemen. He's God. And if He plants a garden, friend, He's going to get the fruit off of it one way or the other. Tragedies. Wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be sad if God had to start taking people around us, folks we know or love, or even folks in our church, in our family, to wake us up? And you notice there that the north wind wasn't always blowing. It was asleep. It didn't blow up on its own. The Holy Ghost said, Jesus said, wake up, wind! Got a job for the north wind to do. I've got a garden down there that I need to chill out a little bit. Awake. I'm telling you, friend, that's sad. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you something. It's not that bad, but it is bad. I think God can send some winter months in her life when He reaches out and touches you as a child of God. Somebody said, oh, what do you mean, preacher? Well, there's a fellow in the Bible named Jacob, but he just couldn't get victory. Oh, his just heart was full of fear. He had a brother that he was afraid of. And while he was waiting for Esau's arrival, old Jacob crossed a little old brook. The Bible said there he wrestled with a man all night long. I'm just going to read between the lines. The Bible said that an angel of God touched the sinew of his thigh. And when the sun rose up, Jacob went to walking away from Peniel like this. Son, you reckon God sometimes has to put His hand on us physically? Sat in that little upper room yesterday morning, Brother Mark, and again this morning. And my body felt like a wash tub. And I began to pray and ask God for help in our service this morning. And oh, I'm telling you, God broke my heart. And I pleaded. I said, Lord, I need power. I'm a pitiful preacher. I need power. I need grace. I feel like I can't stand this morning. My body feels like it's a wreck, and I feel so weak. And the Holy Ghost said, when you're weak, then I'm strong.
Amen.
God said, I put my hand on you. Amen. That the spices of your garden may flow out for my enjoyment and for my glory.
Amen.
Not always a bed of roses, folks.
Amen.
Something I'm going to have to live with. Somebody said, oh, I wouldn't want anybody to think that God had touched me or some tragedy in my life because of some disobedience or because of God's chastisement. Oh, I will rejoice in it in my life.
Amen.
For if you be without it, whereof all were partakers, you're a bastard and not a son, the Bible says. Then rejoice in the time that God touches our life, that the spices of our garden may flow out for His glory. We don't like it. But it's for His glory, friend. Look here, that in the verse next Sunday, that when He comes into His garden, He can eat the pleasant fruits thereof. I wonder what you'd do, some of y'all would do, if you planted a garden next spring and went out into it when it was supposed to be like big tomato plants about that big, and you went out into it, and after about 3 months, you kept not even a blossom, not a bloom. Should be tomatoes hanging all over that thing, and there was nothing there. You know what you... Yeah, I'm going to tell you what you do. You cut her down. You plant it expecting fruit.
Amen.
God saved us expecting fruit.
Amen.
And when He digs and dungs, friend, and sends the bitter north wind and the southern breeze, and it still doesn't provide spices out of that garden. I'm going to tell you the next thing He does. He taketh it away.
Amen.
And it withereth. And men gather them and cast them into the fire to be burned.
Amen.
Simple as this, where there's no fruit, it's because there's no root.
Amen.
What about it? Works of the wind in consecrating us. Oh, I know people like to jump up and down. They like to hear smooth things and good things. Tell us something good's going to happen. Something good's going to happen to you today. But sometimes something bad has to happen before something good can happen. Is that right? Awake, O north wind. Come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let's stand together. I tried to preach the best I could. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege of being in church. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the Spirit of God. Thank You for the opportunity. I pray that You'll bless Your people. God, that You'll pardon our sins. Forgive us, Lord, where we've failed You so many times. Have Your will and way in every life, every heart. Save somebody today, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Bless us and the work in the ministry here. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we going to sing, Brother Joy? 304. God's spoken to your heart. God's spoken to your heart while these are praying. You need to pray also, you can come this morning. God's dealt with your heart. Come right on today. Would you do that while we sing 304? Awake, O north wind. Bitter, harsh. But come thou south. Let's sing another, Brother George. Thorns, tragedies, and a touch from God. I thought about some of you this morning and what God's taken you through in your life. Somebody said, oh, God, don't do that. You just don't know the work of God, friend. God does do those things. He definitely does. It's a dangerous thing to be a God's child and to bow our neck to the will of God for our life. Dangerous. Dangerous. I look back on my life and I wonder how many times that possibly one of my children have suffered because of some sin that I've petted around on and refused to turn loose of, or maybe missed God's will here or there. God tried to get me over here and I didn't want to go there. I tell you, it would behoove us all to be very sensitive to God. And then to realize that it's all for our good and His glory. The Holy Ghost is only going to bring out the fragrances of the garden that have been cultivated by Him, that Jesus might enjoy that fellowship.